Great Life Game Plan, session number 6.
The secret to a great life is to figure out how to have a great day, a great week, a great month, and just repeat that over and over and over again.
The only person you need to be better than is the person you used to be.
Welcome back to your Great Life Game Plan. I'm Dr. Scott Little, and with me is my beautiful wife, Karen. Good afternoon, whatever.
What is it?
Good recording time. How are
there.
You?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Health is a state of complete physical, mental, or emotional or social well-being, not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. Our goal is to help you to create your own tangible strategy or game plan for enjoying complete or optimal health. We talk about anti-aging, functional health, fitness, fat burning, nutrition, relationships, recovery, the importance of weekly chiropractic care, and all sorts of things that go into your game plan for a great life. So I see that you are wearing a t-shirt that you got from your run yesterday,
the Walk for Literacy,
I believe it was called.
Yep. It's the Race for Literacy.
The Race for Literacy.
5K run walk. So.
And you did your personal best or something like that?
I did. I actually, the day before on Friday, I told our intern at work, I said, you know, because she asked me, she said, what is your time? And I've never run for time. I've always just done it for the exercise or to finish.
Yeah.
So I've never really run and said, okay, my goal is to finish in this kind of a time frame. But I thought, okay, she's asking me, so what kind of a time frame for 3.1 miles would be good? I'm like, if I can get 35, I'll be happy.
Yeah,
you know,
you
with
got
that.
What?
And I got 32:30.
Cool.
So
you know,
that was a personal best for me. It was about a 10:27 mile.
My friend,
so.
Dr. Jim Edwards, every time he and his friend do a run or a race
right.
or something like that, they always post on Facebook that they came in first in their division.
What's their division?
Well, people named Dr. Edwards, I guess, or something like that, because it's an ongoing joke. I kept on
that's
seeing this.
Funny.
I thought, wow, that's really good.
That's
I don't
good.
Want to run with Jim because,
gosh,
you know,
you're...
I'd look like an idiot. But it turns out anytime they run, walk, or do anything, it's their... They take number one in their division.
I like that. I like that theory. So I guess theoretically, I took, according to that theory, I took number one in my division.
I bet you beat anybody else with pink hair.
Actually?
Was there anybody else with pink hair?
I'm trying to think. Not that I saw. So
okay,
yes,
well,
my division was the pink hair division. So I won my division.
There you go. Last session, we talked about Dr. Alan Christensen's book, The Adrenal Reset Diet, and got a lot of positive feedback on that. That was session number 5. And
it was a good one.
Coming up soon, I think episode number 7 is going to be on the distinction between whole food supplements and synthetic supplements. Going to talk about just the difference between whole foods concentrated to a therapeutic level and what 98% of the vitamin supplements that are out there available. And then I believe that you've been reading a book that's been around for a long time, but it's one of those books that, you know, the truth is the truth, and it doesn't matter whether it was written 10, 15 years ago or 10, 15 days ago. Gary Chapman's The 5 Love Languages.
Yes,
you know what you know what the love languages are?
I do.
Yeah. French, Spanish, Italian, Portuguese, Catalan, which I've never even heard of as a language, but rather a nutritional supplement, and Romanian. Those are the five love languages.
Well, the different love languages than what Gary Chapman is talking about.
Actually, those are the romantic
I was going to say, those are the romantic languages, which are not necessarily love languages.
Yeah.
So.
Perhaps those are different.
But it's interesting that you talk about that because that is brought up in the book, and we will talk about that when we talk about the book.
Really? You know, I think I missed a question on Trivia Crack the other day when I thought perhaps that Germany was a romantic language. I don't
you
know
mean
why.
German?
Yeah, German. Yeah.
Germany is a...
Yeah, that was the other thing. It was a country and not a language.
You know.
Oh, well, whatever. So have you ever heard of the microbiome?
I know you have because I've been talking about
it. Well, yeah. I mean, prior to you talking about it, no.
And,
well,
and we've been married for over 20-some years, and it's never really been a part.
We've been married 20 years.
Well, but our
together.
Yeah. Well, and separate. We've not been married separately, so.
No, I mean, we've been together over 20 years.
No, I get that, but we're I was trying to communicate that we are past our 20th anniversary, so.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, that's,
I gotcha.
That's what I meant. So, but the microbiome is not something that we have talked about much in the past, but it's something that I am learning a ton about. I started listening to a couple of podcasts, and that led me to reading a couple of books. The one of them that we're going to talk about today, The Microbiome Diet by Dr. Raphael Kelman, a medical doctor in New York City, and then one that we're going to talk about coming up real soon, Dr. David Perlmutter, who was the author of a very well-received book, Grain Brain.
Oh, yeah.
He has a book called Brain Maker. He is a neurologist down in Naples, Florida, and talks about how the microbiome and our gut health affects our brain health and brain function.
So, first and foremost, I guess I asked this question because, you know, I've seen you reading this book and I know, okay, now there's a diet about it, but what is a microbiome?
Okay, so you look at the word microbiome. Micro means tiny, bio means life, and me means
me.
So it's a tiny life
in me.
And so the book.
Well, that's easy.
Well, I made that up. I'm sure that's not exactly what scientists would call the microbiome. But in this book,
The
Microbiome Diet, the scientifically proven way to restore your gut health and achieve permanent weight loss. So the microbiome is considered the secret to weight loss, feeling healthy, energized, optimistic, and simply put, at the top of your game.
So how can I go buy the pill?
Well, we have so much more to talk.
Everybody's looking for that magic pill.
Yeah. So we have so much more to talk about. So it turns out that the microbiome weighs about 3 pounds, same as your brain. It's made up of somewhere between 60 and 100 trillion microbes, so primarily bacteria, but maybe some yeasts and other viruses and things like that. And we typically think of bacteria as a bad thing, you know, the germs and the cause of disease.
Well, and viruses too.
Well, yeah, and so the that couldn't be further from the truth when we are talking about our microbiome. So the microbes that live inside our gut, you know, Hippocrates, a few years ago, the father of modern medicine, was known as saying that disease starts in the gut. Look to the gut for the cause of the beginning of disease. So these microbes in your gut, they extract all the nutrients from your food. They have a major impact on your moods and allow you to be mentally sharp and clear. They have a strong influence on your metabolism, your hormones, neurotransmitters, cravings, and even your genes. You know, I think a human being has like 22,000 genes in their body, or in their cells, but when you count,
22,000 cells or 22,000 genes in their cells.
22,000 genes, when you add in the genes of the microbes, the microbiome, then it's like more like 3.3 million.
Wow.
So they even have an effect on our genes. So turns out that your health, your quality of life, every aspect of your life is dependent upon having a quality microbiome, an ecology in your intestines.
Okay, so in listening to you kind of describe this, I guess I'm kind of getting this, envisioning, I guess you could say, almost like a when you say biome, I'm kind of almost thinking like a dome, that within this dome, there's this all this life that's taking place in there, and some's good, some's bad, some shouldn't be happening, some should be happening, and you want more happening than is that more good than bad, and all of these little things are living in there.
Yeah. Well, that's not at all a stretch, and that's probably what you should be thinking. Basically, if the microbiome is healthy, you are healthy. If the microbiome, if the bacteria are craving sugar or they get out of balance, then you will crave sugar. And when it's out of balance, you gain weight. You become completely inflamed. Your brain gets inflamed, and you can suffer all sorts of things like anxiety, depression, ADD, a whole host of things like that. And all the exercise in the world is not going to allow you to lose weight if your microbiome is out of balance. So a key point, our metabolism, weight, and overall health depend on the balance of the microbial life within our gastrointestinal tract. On page 11, it says, this is why I say that balancing our microbiome is a key, or actually, he says, the key to optimum weight and health. He says, as soon as we pass through the birth canal, we begin to become 90% microbe. Yeah, so it turns out, you know, we have about 100 trillion tissues or 100 trillion cells that make up us. About 10 trillion of them are our actual body tissue cells.
So basically just one big microbe.
Well, we to a certain extent, 90% of the cells in our body are microbes. So as soon as we pass through the birth canal, we begin to become 90% microbe. The moment that we come into this world, we start the process of acquiring the trillions of bacteria that we need to achieve optimal health. And that brings to the surface the idea of C-sections. You know, people are having C-sections so often mm-hmm. now, just almost out of convenience, and C-sections are really something that should be done as a last resort to
emergency situation.
As an emergency, yeah. Not a convenience thing. So it turns out that just going through, passing through the birth canal is when we start getting a significant number of our bacteria. In fact, we get a specific bacteria in our bodies that will help us to digest our mother's milk. Mm-hmm. Just going through. So what they're finding is that C-section babies have a much higher incidence of allergies, asthma, ADD, autism, type 1 diabetes, skin disorders, weight issues, a whole wow. variety of things, because they don't have that benefit of acquiring their first, as it turns out, line of defense, the bacteria that will become a part of their microbiome. So, topic for
That's
another day. Dr. Perlmutter will, and when we do BrainMaker, we'll talk a little bit more about research that links C-sections with I believe ADD and perhaps autism and a variety of different things. So, you know, definitely glad that people can have C-sections when they're medically necessary, but they aren't medically necessary just because you've got a schedule to keep or there turns out to be a consequence if you're just wanting to have one kind of out of convenience.
So my question to you then would be, you know, obviously you're talking about sugar and stuff like that. So I'm guessing that you said if it's out of balance, then it craves sugar. You're going to crave sugar. What are some of the things that you can eat? What are the healthy things to eat? You know, we just did this 21-day fix and
right.
all of that. So incorporating that, incorporating the paleo, incorporating a lot of these different things that we talk about, what are the good things to keep the microbiome in a healthy balance?
Well, I'm glad you asked, and that's the reason.
So when people are listening to this, I have not read this book, I have not read your notes, and I have not I have no idea what you're planning on telling us.
Well, since
I'm
the book,
coming up with questions.
Yes, and since the book is called The Microbiome Diet, you can rest assured that when we get to the point when it's time to review, and I want people to go out and buy the book. So,
buy it, or can I just borrow yours?
No, you can borrow mine.
Okay, good.
Because, yeah. So, anyway. So 75%, this is something I forgot to mention, 75% of your immune system is found in the microbiome in the intestine. So the microbiome lays the groundwork for optimal mood, brain function, by influencing the production of neurotransmitters, hormones, biochemicals that the brain needs for thought process and emotion. So here is a list, before we get into the diet support the microbiome, is a list, a lengthy list of symptoms of an imbalanced
microbiome. Are you
going to
read us the whole list?
I'm going to read a lot of them because I want you to get a feel for, oh gosh, that's like everybody. And that's the real take home. But I want you to understand, I am always trying to find things that, it's like chiropractic. We live in a fallen, stress-filled world. There's no one who's not going to benefit from regular chiropractic care, which I define as, weekly or more than weekly if you're injured. But certainly, even if you're not injured, weekly chiropractic care is what I feel like everyone would benefit from. So what are some things that you fix one thing and it's the ultimately the cost. So instead of listening to all of these different symptoms and thinking, well, what supplement do you take for that? What supplement do you take for abdominal pain? Oh, well, milk of magnesia or Tums or something like that. Well, what do you take for allergies? Well, I take allergy medicine or something like that. Well, bloating and gas. Well, I take, Beano or whatever. No. So that's not what we're trying to do here. So what if we could fix the microbiome? Could we fix so many of these different health problems that people have, like abdominal pain? You'll notice that these are in alphabetical order.
So okay, good.
Abdominal pain, allergies, bloating and gas, depression, dry skin, anxiety, brain fog, diarrhea, constipation and/or diarrhea, arthritis, headaches, infections, joint pain, energy problems, muscle pain, libido, low sex drive, sexual dysfunction, memory problems, just all sorts of things. And that was just a small number
list.
Of things on the list. So, so much of the conditions that people suffer are the result of inflammation, just inflammation in the body that's gone awry, if you will. And the microbiome has a significant impact or role in regulating the inflammatory process and so forth in our body.
How long can it take for the microbiome to get out of balance to cause those symptoms?
Not very long.
I was going to say, is there any kind of a time frame given?
Yeah, the bad news is it doesn't take hardly any time at all to screw it up. The good news is it doesn't take very long to fix it. Now, you can screw it up in minutes. You can fix it in weeks. But, when you start thinking about, when I looked at that list, I thought, okay, those are the symptoms that are consistent with people that have intestinal microbiome problems. I could have just had that list on my intake form, and it'd be amazing how many people would have all of those different conditions.
Look at so many people blame allergies on their location.
Right.
But are you living in a location where your diet is going to be bad enough that I look at people who live on the coasts. And they're going to have a high seafood diet in general. Is someone with a high seafood diet going to have a healthier gut and a healthier microbiome than someone who lives in wheat country and eats a lot of wheat. It's interesting that you asked refined foods and
It's interesting that you asked that because your mother-in-law just went to North Carolina for a week knitting with her friends, and she ate seafood 3 days in a row, and apparently swelled up and had a reaction to the seafood 3 days in a row. You know, seafood on the coast is plentiful and good, and you go to the coast, you might as well first night didn't go so well, but second night apparently didn't go so well, and third night she said, I can't do seafood now or ever. You know, one thing that I want to talk about here before we get into the phases of the diet is leaky gut, also known as intestinal permeability or leaky gut syndrome. You know, the lining of the intestines is only one cell thick. And, you know, if you put your fingers together, remember that thing that we used to do, here's the church, here's the steeple, open the door, all the people. Right. Yeah. Okay. So when you squeeze your fingers together like that, that's called a tight junction. If you're pretending that your hands are your intestines and so if your fingers are interlocked that way and that you've got that tight junction, then as food particles travel through that intestine, they can't leak out. But if you relax your fingers and separate them and you create these big holes, well, basically what happens is food particles leave that one cell thickness of the intestinal lining, and then the body thinks it's a foreign invader and attacks it, which is why people have, or you know, that's part of an autoimmune condition whereby people's immune system goes into attack mode, and that's why they get inflammation and allergies and all sorts of different things. So part of healing the gut is not only restoring balance to the bacteria or the microbes, but also healing the gut lining so that these tight junctions reestablish and food particles don't go out into the intestine or into just the space of our body that the body then attacks. So you asked what are the key points to the microbiome diet? And basically, Dr. Kelman talks about three different phases of the diet. The first one is 21 days. And it's the most restrictive. You're eliminating foods that aren't necessarily bad foods in and of themselves. We'll get into that. But for 21 days, for 3 weeks, you are eliminating the unhealthy. There's four stages in phase one. And each of those phases begins with the letter R: remove, replace, re-inoculate, and repair. So step one of phase one is to remove the unhealthy bacteria and the foods that unbalance the microbes. So you've got an abundance of microbes, and when they're all working together, then everything works great. But when you get an overabundance of, say, one bad bacteria, then that's what. So we're going to remove the unhealthy bacteria and foods that unbalance the microbiome. Then we're going to replace the digestive enzymes that you need for optimal digestion. We all would benefit from some digestion enzymes. We're going to re-inoculate with probiotics the good intestinal bacteria. Probiotic is a food or a supplement that is basically these good balanced microbes, and prebiotics. Now, people have heard of probiotics because yogurt's a probiotic, but a lot of times people have not heard of prebiotics. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then stage four of phase one is to repair the lining of the intestinal wall. So we're going to repair this lining that is leading to leaky gut. So the foods to avoid on phase one are all forms of sugar. And really, you know, we just need to eliminate sugar for 21 days and then 21,000 days thereafter. But even some good things like eggs, Then we're going to eliminate soy and gluten and dairy, artificial colors and preservatives. So we're going to eliminate as much of the toxins and artificial chemicals that are in our food. But we're also going to eliminate gluten, which tends to be highly inflammatory, not only for the 1% of the population that has celiac disease and can't even be in the same county as a gluten molecule, but we find that probably 1 out of 6, 1 out of 7 people have some level of sensitivity to gluten that can be can really affect them. Soy is not good for the thyroid. We try to, in our practice, try to help people to avoid soy altogether. The one thing that makes that list that I'm like, dude, serious, is, eggs and healthy dairy. Now, we don't drink commercial milk in our house, except for our cat. It's, instead of dairy, we're drinking unsweetened coconut milk and almond milk and flax milk, cashew milk, always the unsweetened version. So we're not a family that drinks milk.
The only dairy we consume is yogurt.
Unsweetened,
right? Plain yogurt, and cheese.
Yep, and we will be able to reintroduce that if we were going on this program. I think in phase two, but for now we are eliminating even good yogurt. So we're going to load up on foods that contain inulin. Inulin's a fiber. These are the prebiotics, and inulin is found in asparagus and carrots. And garlic, we eat a lot of garlic. This time of year, we eat a lot of asparagus. And you always take carrots to work to nibble on.
Yeah, I
often do. Do you know what a Jerusalem artichoke is? Crickets.
I guess they can't see me staring at you with those deadpan. No, I don't.
I downloaded a picture of it so that I could learn about Jerusalem artichoke, but I don't have a clue as to what a Jerusalem artichoke is.
Jicama.
You know what jicama
Mexican
is?
Mexican potato.
Yeah. That's loaded with inulin, a prebiotic. Leeks, okra, onion.
Jicama is also, just for those who are like trying to write stuff down, jicama is actually not spelled the way it sounds.
Not at all.
It's spelled J-I-C-A-M-A.
Now, I have it right in front of me, and I probably couldn't have done that. You did that without anything in front of you.
Well, it's because it was on another thing I've done, another program I've done, and I'm like, what is this? And they're like, oh, jicama. Okay.
Okay, so asparagus, carrots, garlic, Jerusalem artichoke, if you know what that is, jicama, if you know what that is now, leeks, okra, onion, radishes, tomatoes, spices like turmeric and cinnamon. These are foods that are known as prebiotics. Now, probiotics are foods that have healthy bacteria in them that repopulates our microbiome. And probiotics.
Yes.
And prebiotics are basically fertilizers or foods to feed
prepare.
Okay. So it's basically like putting compost on your garden or whatever. So those foods that are high in inulin are called prebiotics. And, with our clients, that we certainly suggest these foods, but then we will also perhaps supplement with our prebiotic inulin and so forth. And then the probiotics, what are some probiotic foods? Obviously, we use a probiotic that Standard Process makes, and we can supplement with that. But you and I, Team Little, has a bunch of foods that are natural probiotics in our life. So these are your fermented foods, and we have a refrigerator full of krauts, not just Vlasic sauerkraut that's been homogenized and pasteurized and doesn't have any real microbiome
benefit. Good organic.
Right. And people can make their own. We have we go to Blooming Foods and buy a variety of it. Kimchi, vegetable. You can't eat it because it's too spicy. But but krauts, other fermented foods, we make beet kvass. People may not know what beet kvass is, but I have a
tastes yummy.
Yeah, it's a great thing, kind of a recipe from Russia. A salty beet drink that is loaded with enzymes and probiotics. We make kefir water all the time and put that in our smoothies or just drink some of it. So between that and plain yogurt, we do a lot of plain yogurt, obviously, if we're not in phase one of this, which I think our microbiome is pretty healthy. So,
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if you look at me, you know, my allergies, what was it? 3 months ago, 6 months ago, six or seven months ago. Dead of winter, I was like miserable and not able to function without, you know, what Zyrtec or, you know, the generic Zyrtec or something. Even at that, my allergies were horrendous. And now I almost even forget about using the Nasacort that I have because my allergies, I maybe use it once a week.
Well,
kind of a thing.
And hopefully over time, you won't need it at all.
But we've changed a lot in our diet in the last 6 months as well.
Absolutely.
So adding a lot more of this stuff. So
adding in, you asked what we eat, and you know, there were some foods that we avoid for this 21-day period in phase one, and then we're loading up on prebiotics and probiotics. We're also loading up on tons and tons of green vegetables, different colored vegetables, but lots and lots of green vegetables. He also says fruits, and you know, one of my pet peeves is becoming the idea of putting fruits and vegetables together in the same sentence, just like they are equal and go together. And the more we're learning about fructose and even healthy fruits, you know, fruits are not a food that has been available to man in the abundance that we eat it. You know, if you live on the East Coast, apples have a season and so forth. So fruit is something that people should not just think, well, you know, I can eat all the fruit that I want. And you can eat all the vegetables you want. I don't think there's anybody that's ever going to put a limit on the broccoli and the kale and the sauerkraut and those types of things. But to put fruit in the same sentence and just give people a blanket to be able to eat all the fruit that they want, that can cause some problems.
Like giving them a bag of cookies and say, here, eat all the cookies you want, just about. Okay, maybe not quite.
Okay, maybe
not quite. I'm just thinking, because there's so much sugar associated with the fruit, we have fruit associated with vitamins and nutrients, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of sugar in fruit.
And we need to probably expand upon that in a later episode, because somebody might say, well, you can't be seriously considering an apple and a Snicker bar in the same sense.
No,
that's not true. And certainly an apple has fiber that offsets and so forth. But still, an apple has 11 grams of fructose in it, and that's a big hit to our bodies. And so we can't just...
But I'm saying you shouldn't hand someone as much fruit as they want and say, here, eat as much as you want, any more than you would hand them a bag of cookies and say, here, eat as many cookies as you want.
I see your point and agree.
Thank you.
There you go. So anyway, in phase one, you're eating high quality proteins, lots and lots of greens, and eliminating those foods that I mentioned above. So in phase two, that goes 4 weeks. So phase one was 3 weeks. Phase two is 4 weeks. And your goal in this phase is just to support your microbiome. So a lot has probably changed in that 21-day period. And now you're just trying to boost your metabolism. So we have a little bit of a wider variety. We reintroduce eggs. And obviously, we want those eggs to be free-range, cage-free. Ideally, those chickens are walking around the barnyard eating bugs and worms and things that chickens were designed to eat, and not just grains or living in a cage. So spend the extra money on free-range, cage-free eggs. Mm-hmm. It does matter. And you can also start to introduce some yogurts and things like that. He strongly recommends sheep and goat yogurt and kefir, which I don't know that we have a lot of access to. I'm sure we do if we went to a farmer, but certainly we're talking plain yogurt. We're not talking Dannon's fruit on the on the bottom.
And don't fall for the no added sugar.
That's right. And why is that?
Because You can get away with saying no added sugar by adding the yogurt to the sugary
That's right.
fruit cup.
So the company, all they do is add the yogurt, but they've purchased a plastic cup that's got
that has the sugary stuff in the bottom, right?
Yeah, underneath it. So
they're technically not adding sugar. They're adding the stuff to the sugar.
That's right. And then he says that in this phase, you can reintroduce some gluten-free whole grains like buckwheat and brown rice, wild rice. I strongly would suggest that people go and use black rice, which I just blogged about this past week.
Does quinoa have gluten in it?
No, it doesn't. But we're going to get into that just in just a minute. But I would. What do you do with buckwheat?
I don't know. I don't usually. I think of buckwheat, and I think of our buckwheat whole pillows. Yeah. I think more of a something you sleep on there or sit on than you do.
Well, you know, we don't do many grains whatsoever. When we do eat grains, we do black rice and a little quinoa. But but at this point, he says that you could add in some brown rice, some wild rice, something like that, a little bit of buckwheat. Mm-hmm. During phase two, he focuses on ways to relax and reduce stress, talks a little bit about some breathing exercises and some things like that to really just help our body. And in phase two, he asks for a 90% adherence. In other words, in phase one, it was 100%.
Right.
And in phase two, he gives you a little bit, he gives you some guidelines and gives you about a 10% margin of error. I don't like to use the term, and he doesn't use it in his book, but I don't like the term cheat day.
Right.
But you've got a little bit of a margin for fudging.
Error.
Not fudging. That I don't mean you could eat fudge.
Okay.
Go on to phase three.
Moving on.
Phase three is basically your lifetime tune-up. It's just following the principles over and over again. And if you screw up and you think you've gotten yourself out of balance, then you can kind of go back to phase one for a few days or phase two for a few days and get things back to balance. After 7 weeks on the program, he finds that most people no longer have food cravings and they don't have sugar spikes and crashes, and they're doing pretty well. At this point, he allows folks to add a little bit of gluten if they're not gluten insensitive. And as I say, he asks for a 70% adherence at this point. So, you know, if you're basically eating five meals a day, three meals plus two snacks, and you look at that during the week, I mean, I think that it gives you a fairly significant amount of room for error. And he finds that most people, if they've gone through phase one and phase two, their systems are working really, really well, and they have seen a significant improvement. Now, I don't know what people's attitudes might be. Oh, that diet seems so restrictive. But really, you weren't taking out. Yes, you were taking out sugar. That's probably a very high percentage of people's diets. Yes, you were taking out some things. But you know, the things that you are able to eat, the things that support the microbiome, may not be the foods that we crave when our microbiome is out of balance and it's craving sugar and starch and crud.
Right.
But when you get that out of your system for a period of time, you'll be amazed at how your body will just start craving good food. Mm-hmm. Crave maybe some sauerkraut or some plain yogurt. You realize, hey, I don't need to have chocolate, blueberry syrupy yogurt, I can get away with a lot less. So phase three is basically just an indefinite tune-up, and you've got some skills that you can go back to phase one or phase two on an as-needed basis. He recommends some supplements along the way, some hydrochloric acid supplements. For us, that standard process is Zypan. Some digestion enzymes. For us, that standard process is Multizyme and Enzicor. And I like this on page 62. He says, in most people, gluten-free grains, here's the answer to your question. In most people, gluten-free grains like quinoa and brown rice and spelt are unlikely to set off food sensitivities. Even when these grains leak through the intestinal walls, the immune system doesn't react to most people. But as we saw in chapter two, bad bacteria love the sugar and starches found in grains, even whole grains. So they were kept out in phase two, but reintroduced. So that's all I really want to share about the microbiome diet. He has a wealth of information. I mean, if you wanted to follow the microbiome diet from day one to day on for it, he's got recipes and suggested food items and things like that. He's got a lot of stuff in here. He totally expands on all the principles and things. I didn't want to give away any more than would cause somebody not want to read the book, and I certainly got a lot out of it that I think that I'm able to use with my clients. You know, again, healing one's gut is one of the number one fundamentals in functional health, and you know, balancing hormones and fitness and fat burning, mm-hmm. and taking responsibility for your own health and your own life, and now you learned that you've got 90 trillion friends that you didn't know, and and you've got to take care of them. So, did you have any questions?
I think I got mine answered along the way.
Okay, so I cannot emphasize enough how much research is being done and how much is being talked about the microbiome and the importance of healing the gut. The cool thing is that by loading up on foods that are high in probiotics, like plain yogurt and kefir, and we'd love to teach people how to make beet kvass and their own kefir water. Are there any other probiotics that we tend to, other than probiotic supplements, that we tend to have in our diet? You know, one thing that's cool is every culture has foods that they ferment, and so there's just a world of fermented foods out there.
Well, that's all I can think of for now. So
that's cool. Okay, so the microbiome diet, Dr. Raphael Kelman, internist, functional medical doctor in New York City. Great book. Strongly recommend it. The scientifically proven way to restore your gut health and achieve permanent weight loss. Good stuff. So,
well, thank you. That was very informative.
Well, I think that as you, you know, we've implemented a lot of these principles in our own lives, and you're a testimony to your allergies are better. When you go to the gym and you can look at folks there at the gym, I'm sure you'll have opportunities to help people, to maybe guide them towards a new interest in taking care of the bugs that live in their gut. And so, all right. So, let's do a plug for Thrive Market. We just placed another order.
Love that website.
Thrivemarket.com. Please go through the link in either the show notes here or on our website. Mm-hmm. We are trying to grow this family. It's a great business model that gives back to the community. Basically, they are trying to all of the perishable or non-perishable?
Non-perishable
things that would be in a healthy store that may be more expensive than what some people can afford. They're basically providing those foods at cost. It comes with a membership fee, an annual membership fee, but kind of like Tom's Shoes, for everybody that joins, then they work with Boys Club and Girls Club and a variety of charities and organizations to give an underprivileged family opportunity to supply healthy foods and items to their family at a significant, like 35-40%
discount. Yeah, I think that's just awesome.
So want to close up the show, invite people to KarenLittle.me to subscribe to your blog, listen to your testimony, hang out there. And
did.
Yep. So I'm kind of ending the show.
Oh.
Did you have anything else to say?
I just thought you were going to say, I thought you were going to have me do a plug for my website, and then all of a sudden you did it. That was all I was saying.
You want to plug mine?
You just did it. Well, you can go to drscottlittle.com and see all the great information that you have on there. And you've got not only your blog, but you've got recipes on there. So people who are looking for healthy things like the spinach Florentine patties, things that are going to
That's a great recipe.
Yes,
you can learn how to make beet kvass at my website. You can learn about why you should eat black rice. If you are going to eat rice, then black or forbidden rice is a great option. And so please go to drscottlittle.com. If I could serve you, if you're in the Bloomington, Indiana area, and I could serve you as your family's chiropractor, have a great membership style practice whereby our people don't pay per visit. They pay a monthly fee for essentially unlimited care. And we define that as all the care that it takes to get a person out of pain and functioning well. But then to go beyond that, to provide care on a weekly basis to improve quality of life, promote optimal health, and prevent any further damage from occurring, just to help people to live optimally, because you live your life through your nervous system and it communicates with your microbiome. So it all fits together. I would also love to serve you as a sort of a functional health coach or consultant. I can do that for people anywhere, not just in Bloomington via phone and Skype consultation. So you can get to me through drscottlittle.com. Well, that is indeed all the time that we've got this week. Coming up, we've got a discussion about whole food supplements versus synthetic supplements and the five love languages. Can you give us one or two of the real love languages, not French and apparently German's not even a romantic language?
Words of affirmation is one. Quality time is another one.
Okay.
Acts of service. So that's just a little, that's of the five, that's three. So,
well, that's plenty. Yep. That's plenty.
Just a little taste.
All right. The secret to a great life is to figure out how to have a great day and just repeat that over and over and over again. Thank you so much for listening. Go create a great day.